I'm very excited to say that we do have a remote that's a kind of a call-in, if you will, from George Leroy Tirebiter.
Dear Philip Austin, Peter Bergman, David Osman, Philip Prochner, perhaps known to some as a Fried Side Theater. On a recent program of your Radio Hour, you requested that those of your listeners who had some reason to react to the name George Tirebiter write to you and explain why.
Bravo.
My reason follows. I think he left it in the first word here.
Simultaneous translation.
George Tirebiter was a mongrel dog who was the official mascot of the University of Southern California Trojans football team from 1947 to 1950. He first appeared on the campus of USC in 1940.
Oh, boy. Far out. Far out. Oh, boy.
And got his name.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm a Labrador Retriever. He's going to read. He's going to read.
Follow my girl.
And got his name from his ability and habit of biting tires on cars traveling on University Avenue, which runs through the campus. He became the official mascot in 1947 after being run over by a car. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, no.
He became the official
tragic.
Mascot in 1947 and served actively for two seasons. In 1949, near death, he was sent to the Greens Animal Shelter in El Gentro, it looks like. In 1950, he escaped from the shelter and was killed by an automobile.
On the city. Highway patrol, call in.
Was killed by an automobile driven by Broderick Crawford, whose tires he was attempting to bite. I wish to thank you for giving me the opportunity to relate this otherwise useless information. So thank you all, your friend, Daniel Sachs.
Who is retired up on Monster Island right now. But are you there, George?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow. National Surrealist Party vice presidential candidate.
I'm amazed.
George Leroy Tirebiter.
You're still there. I mean,
Well, you know, I'll be. It's my 102nd birthday coming up.
Wow.
And I still have a lot of energy. I fortunately, this was not an election, national election year for me, so yes. I didn't run for vice president again.
Yes.
But in 2 years, well, with the age of the candidates, they'll look like young guys compared to me. I'll be 104.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it's important to have an elder statesman leading the march, even if you are in a wheelchair.
Well, not really. I would like to say I've been enjoying the way that you gents have been describing the Natural Surrealist Party. And of course, by enfranchising the entire biological world, not to mention the rocks, you know, this is made, of course, the willingness of all animalhood and the trees and all of those which I speak for as vice president, they all need a voice, you know.
They
and
do.
That's what the Natural Surrealist Party has given them, a voice.
Mother
and
Nature speaks, you're right.
Yes, indeed. So, of course we win. Of course we've won every time.
Well,
but what better campaign slogan than not insane?
Not insane.
Yeah.
We agree with that. But I do have to say, George, that since you ran, 50 years ago or so, the animal population has, and the herbivores, the trees, has been reduced a little bit by Bolsonaro down in Brazil and by the daily loss of many, many species of animals. Right.
Not to mention the hurricanes.
No, don't mention that, George.
Depopulated more palm trees.
Yes, that's right.
And there goes a vote with every frond, if you know what I mean.
So to speak.
Yeah.
I wish they could.
So go ahead. You're young.
Yes, I
well,
know.
George, I wanted to ask you, what is the Surrealist Party's position on all the new biotech and the gene splitting and the cloning?
Yeah.
I mean, are they feeling a little disenfranchised, I suppose. Do they have a voice in the Surrealist Party?
There's a lot of splitting going on, may I say. And it is difficult for me to take a not insane sign when it comes to biology, if you see what I mean. It's too small. I like to look, now that I'm very old, I like to look at the large picture. I like to look at the galaxies. I think we should enfranchise the galaxies and bring them into power in this poor country. All those beautiful revolving galaxies out there.
Well, yes. You know, you make a good point. We keep waiting for some aliens to reveal themselves to us. Why don't we reveal ourselves to the aliens and get it over with?
Here's the official stolen government training film of the secret plan to deal with an alien uprising.
Classified, ultra secret, Air Force generals only. Ten hut! At ease, men, take your seat.
This is General Curtis Goathart. If you are viewing this film, then we are under extraterrestrial attack. Beware. Your brain may no longer be the boss. If you are beginning to doubt what I am saying, you are probably hallucinating. Listen carefully.
What to do if an alien appears? One.
Drop under the seat of your plane and look away.
Two.
Avoid eye contact.
Three.
If there are no eyes, avoid all contact.
How to identify alleged sightings? One.
Pie plates, or as reflections in the atmosphere.
Two.
Dry cleaning bags filled with marsh gas, or...
Three.
Mass insanity.
How to inform your wife and others under your command.
Can I push that appointment?
I don't know how she got that requisition.
Oh, she gets it in the car.
Well, she's not allowed to have it unless she...
Honey,
she's related to the...
Honey,
he's like a PX, though.
Oh, General?
Honey and men, I have something awesome to reveal to you.
Well, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
Two flying saucers have just landed on my plate.
Well, turn away, sir. I'll eat them.
Good thing. Men, our greatest fear is realized. We are under attack from superior consciousness.
The eggs, sir?
They're only the beginning.
Well,
all right, men. Questions.
Sir?
Yes, Major.
Pass the syrup, General. Yes,
that's a good idea, Chuck. But syrup won't stop them.
But
next,
sir.
Colonel.
Are you nuts?
That is just exactly what they want you to believe.
Eggs, sir?
Let's just call them the phenomena.
Well, if I may respectfully submit, sir, I think you've got your phenomena scrambled, General.
What about my eggs, dear?
Honey, they're in everybody's eggs.
Good Lord. You're making me cry, General. Perhaps you'd like to
think I'm going to have to.
Another cup of coffee, sir. Settle down a bit.
Conclusion!
They think he is insane. Yet, he outranks them. His option, command.
One!
He seals off the area.
Two!
Secures the cooperation of local officials.
Three!
Obtains expert scientific assistance.
Four!
Evacuates all government employees.
Five!
And bombs aliens back to Stonehenge.
Everyone reveal themselves. That would be an interesting start, can you imagine?
No, I don't want to imagine that. Please, so many times today people ask me to imagine something. No, I refuse
no,
to.
No, you don't.
No.
I can only say, I remember, I think from one of your famous record albums, somebody says, take off your uniform, right?
Well, I think it was take off your shoes for industry, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but take off your uniform. I think that there are too many uniforms, and by that I don't mean defrock the police.
No.
You know, I think there are too many people in the military running for office. Where I live, they're all ex-military or military wives or military husbands or people. You know, I mean, I think there are too many military people, and why is it? Are you going to run for office? No. No, of course not. It's dangerous and stupid, just like the military. Come on.
Yeah. When I was in the military, I ran away from everything, basically. Yeah. And I burned my uniform, so I understand where you're coming from.
Burn your uniform.
Hate cops, Guido. I always hate cops. Yeah, Nick. I hate cops, too.
Yeah, me, too.
I'll tell you guys what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get even with every rotten cop in this city.
Yeah, me too.
How are you going to do it, Nick? How are you going to do it?
You know what I'm going to do?
No, what you going to do, Nick?
I'm going to turn in my badge.
Yeah, I'm going to burn my uniform.
Do you, George, yeah, the Surrealists, I mean, when you're one organism, one vote, how do you work in the novel coronavirus? I mean, what party affiliation are they?
They were a very dangerous destroyer of our best party members. Yes, the antiviral cells, you know. They're entirely in favor of George Papoon. You mentioned on your show that he wore a sack over his head.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, indeed. Yes. There were holes for his eyes, may I say.
Well, of course, yes.
If he was at the nude beach, I assure you he was watching what was going on.
Another little poem about Santa Barbara. There is a famous nude beach in Santa Barbara. Below some cliffs, and the Mexican kids would often just walk up and down the cliff, or sometimes walk the length of the beach, and everyone had their clothes off except these guys. So I had to write a poem about these guys called La Playa. Jóvenes chicanos in white tees or rayon shirts tight and open, dungarees, walk down the beach in threes, drink bud, and look at pussy. Pobrecitos, who never see the sweet Chicanas naked, cause the girls come always with baby brothers, little sisters, or infants all their own. Jóvenes Chicanos stroll casual and sit on rocks below the cemetery to flash on the brown blondes who walk quivering out of the sea, skin tight as tambourines, here from probably New Jersey or Venus, then drink their buds down slow and keep on walking.
Good.
Yes, he was a healthy gentleman. And I was never really sure who George Papoon was under that sack.
No,
because
we don't know. Yeah.
We accepted volunteers, you know, volunteers for the presidency. And I was holding down in the secure office of vice president. And I want to emphasize the vice aspect of that.
Yes, you know, I think the fact that that Papoon did not reveal his real self is very indicative of, for instance, the way the Republican Party puts all of these stooges up for office that are really, you know, just like empty vessels waiting to be filled by the party doctrine. So I think that George was making a comment on that, don't you, politically at the time?
Yes, actually, what George was afraid of at the time was being shot and killed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Times were like that. Yeah.
So if you weren't sure who you were going to shoot at, why you wouldn't take a pop shot at him, you know? But I think the idea of running someone so incompetent just so he'd win has been around since, I don't know, early 18th century, Brad. You run a complete hick in a hack job. He wins and does your bidding.
Yes, so yes.
There's nothing new about
nothing new. Unfortunately. No, nothing nude and nothing new.
Mr. Tirebiter, George, could you just, we'd love to stick with you for a minute. We just have to get back to the sound effects, first of all.
Yes, what happened to our newsroom?
The newsroom.
Newsroom died?
And we feel lonely in here now, actually.
Somebody unplugged it.
They all went out to see that new movie, She Said.
So what is
so you say?
Yeah. So we're going to go back over to the mediatrician. Warner Time. You have some
news for us? Breaking.
Well, I have the latest numbers.
Do you have the latest sound effects for this?
That's what I want to know. 1984. There's a number.
That's a good number.
That's when Reagan said, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Democracy is the number one worst system in the world, except for all the others, as we know.
Better than the others.
Here's a number. There are 300 election deniers on the ballot this year, and of course, you do have the right to vote.
That is surreal.
So vote, vote, vote. There's three right there.
Right there, good.
It's not who votes; it's who counts the votes. Who said that?
You just did.
Yeah. I believe it was Stalin.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Oh, great.
Let's see here.
But it was in Russian, and nobody understood it.
That's right. We did share the pandemic, and looking forward to tomorrow, can you say pandemonium?
No, I can't.
Okay, that's it from the chart. Back to you guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to Phil and Ted's Sexy Boomer Show. We're going to have more with George Leroy Tirebiter after this important announcement.
Hiya, friends. Bob Dog here, sooner and super operator of Bob Dog, Dog and Dog, Hot Dog, Sun and Foot Tires, and that means shoes and mean shoes. Means industry. Yes, there's rain on the streets again. Where there's rain washed streets. I ought to know I'm Bob Dog, hi chick, and it's my privilege to put shoes on your best friend just like he was my own son's car. Here's a pair that'll make the road blush. Wide, they're wider than the car, and safety wrapped before their box is stored forever, and that's a long, long time when seconds can make the difference, friends. But don't believe me unless you don't care how much it costs. And I like that kind of man, and if you are, you're the kind of man I like. And I'm going to keep it that way, even if I have to offer you a deal that had to be turned down to be offered to you. And remember this tomorrow when you're awake. You don't have to come to Bob Dog. You can drive around on lemons for all I care. Like they say, if you live in the water, you don't need a boat. But if you do, give me the first chance at its feet, and you'll drive away a happy tow. Thanks for looking at me. I'm Bob Dog, and I'll be back.
I'd in any way want to put myself into a confrontatory position, either with the United Snakes or with them. And you can believe me, because I never lie, and I'm always right. So wake up and take a look at your only logical choice. Me, George Tirebiter.
Paid for by the Tirebiter for Political Solutions Committee, Sector R.
This is you, TV, for you, the viewer.
The Howl of the Wolf Movie. Presenting honest stories of working people as told by rich Hollywood stars.
This morning's wacky feature, Porgy and Mudhead in High School Madness, with Dave Kasman as Porgy and Joe Bertman as Mudhead.
Porgy, Tirebiter. He's a spy and a girl delighter. Porgy, firefighter, he's a student like you. If you're looking for a captain of the ring ball team, you can bet he won't be there. You'll find him popping off at Pop's sodium shop to trim a red with red hair. Doobie-doo-wah, Porgy, tire-biter. Just a student like you.
Like me?
Just a student like you.
Stop singing and finish your homework.
Just a student like you.
Adolf, come and get it. Your clam cakes are getting damp.
10-4, Eleanor.
Whew! Defoliating a victory garden certainly works up an appetite.
You sit down, Father, and dig right in.
That's right. This afternoon, I'll be able to start digging the pit. If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by Election Day. Where is Porgy anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, Porgy! Oh, my,
Porgy! Porgy, tell you about
it! He's coming, Mother!
He's so good with the servants, Fred.
Stop calling me Fred. My name's Adolf.
Oh, bombs away, Dad. Morning, Mom.
Morning, sir.
Oh, hot dog, road cakes again. Heavy on the 30 weight, Mom.
Don't eat with your hands, son. Use your entrenching tool.
Oh, gee, Dad, I'm just trying to save time. It isn't every day a guy graduates from high school.
How many times have I heard that before?
Well, you boys fight it out among yourselves.
Okay, Mother.
Look at the time. I've got to dress for my bridge club.
What? Gee, Mom, isn't that bridge built yet?
No, son. And it won't be until free hands on both sides of the big ditch can press the same button at the same time.
Okay, Dad, I give. Oh, boy, can I eat my breakfast now?
Only if you stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Well, come on, Dad. No Irishman can stop you from getting to be dog killer this time. You're a natural.
Don't wolf your food.
Oh, there's Mudhead. Graduation, here I come. So long, Dad. Keep flying.
Oh, that son of mine.
He's not your son, Fred.
Stop torturing me, Ethel.
Boy, that's a heck of a good sponsor. How do we get him? I tell you.
Have you gotten any of the dogs?
No. Yeah. No, I got cats. I'm a cat person.
Los Angeles. It's a tough town. It's a tough town for tough guys. If you spell my town inside out, you get legs on sale. But personally, I prefer the asphalt Arabic spelling. L-O-S-T-G-A-L-S.
Nick Danger. He walks again by night.
I gotta get a car.
Out of the fog and into the frogs.
Whoa! Hey, it's raining cats and frogs. Heck, I don't need a frog. I could use a dog. It's a guy thing.
He's a man. A man to reckon with.
A man to reckon with. Whatever happened to her? Always a maid, never a bride.
He's relentless. He's ruthless.
With Ruth gone, now I have to answer my own phone.
He's dogged.
Hey! Oh, hey! I've got a dog. Hey, little fella.
I know what.
I'm gonna call you Relent. Then I won't be relentless anymore. Get it?
We're talking to George LeRoy, Tire Biter, vice presidential candidate emeritus for the National Surrealist Party. George,
yes. I'm a spokesperson.
You've been around so long. I mean, God,
since,
you've been around.
I can tell you, since I made my first radio show in 1941.
Wow.
That long ago, I was a young man then, but, you know, I was really a radio star back in the golden age, but I was blacklisted. It's a long story. I tell it in one of my books. I tell it the Ronald Reagan murder case. You know, Ronnie was a good friend of mine before he was president, and then, of course, we the not insane crowded around Ronnie immediately as he began to run for office. He learned it all on the radio, everything he did, you know.
Now, those books, they're available at Bear Manor Media, George?
Yes. The Ronald Reagan murder case and the Flying Saucer murder case, both real stories of my real life before I ran for office the first time. That was in 1972, and you'll remember there was a huge convention that happened right there at KPFK.
That's right.
Yes,
just upstairs in the big room. There
it was. It was a it It was a fantastic convention when George Papoon was nominated, and the president was exiled with the monsters from Monster Island. It was a momentous occasion, and my name was mentioned at the time as George's vice presidential candidate. And then in 1976, of course, well, that was Campoon 76, a national event. Very proud of our success.
I remember that. It was on National Pubic Radio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the pubic public. Pubic, yes.
Oh, did I say pubic?
The nude beach there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the perennial candidate for vice president on the Natural Surrealist Party ticket, let us welcome George Leroy Tirebiter.
Thank you, Peter. Well, as you know, the Natural Surrealist Party is extremely proud of its long traditions dating as far back as 1972.
That's a long way, George.
Yes, and of course, many of you in the audience will perhaps remember the promises we made in that very early time. One man, one channel.
Uh-huh.
Now we say one person, one home page.
Right, right. One bozo, one hot button, you know?
Right. Yeah. And there's one organism, one vote.
Oh, yeah.
I will be back to that in a moment, as you know. And, of course, the guaranteed annual year.
Love it.
This year, we are promising, the Natural Surrealist Party is promising, that this guaranteed annual year will move no faster than the speed of life.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But what's this I hear about you narrowing and focusing the platform of one organism, one vote to extend citizenship to all the great apes?
Well, you know, it's my response. The vice president, of course, is virtually president. And
yes.
So I can do just about anything I want to do. It's perfectly legal. So I would like to introduce to you a dear friend of mine, a supporter of mine.
Oh,
here he is, Cheetah, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. Come on. Cheetah, behave yourself. Been living out there for the last 20 years in Tarzan.
Oh, the George Burns of chimpanzees. Yes. I love him. I love him.
Sweetie pie. All right. Now, as you know, as you could tell from his actions there recently, don't eat my script. Genetically, only 1% of DNA away from us human beings.
That's
only
amazing.
1%.
Absolutely
99% human.
Yeah. What did he say?
Jane is only a Jane, but a good cigar is a smoke. The great apes, that's the chimpanzees, the orangutans, and the gorillas, support strong family values.
I'm glad.
They certainly reject gorilla warfare, as we know. And they favor lower taxes because... Well, it's hard to reach the high ones when your knuckles are on the ground.
Well, it's going to take a long time,
I think. Most people's knuckles are on the ground these
days.
Yeah,
just scraping by.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take a while for these reforms to kick in,
yes?
George. How are you going to tell a 2-ton gorilla that they can't vote?
It's a tough one.
How do you do it?
Well, with great tact.
Yes.
And American Sign Language. Watch this now. You see, he's right away.
Marvelous, George.
Thank you. Not insane.
George Leroy Tirebiter.
They were roused by the idea of not insanity. It stunk in their minds, and there are people out there to this day who will buy a bumper sticker that declares not insane, or I think we're all bozos on that bus.
Those are, I believe, available at the firesigntheater.com, aren't they?
This
is a listener-supported station, so we can't really promote things.
Listener-supported station, which is why I heard the commercials for a show at the Orpheum.
we encourage people really to support the station, and we're doing our best by eliciting sponsors.
And George, you have a little bit of a homily for us
to wrap it up
in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, You know, we want to tell people about the Sexy Boomer Show, which you can listen to a lot of our episodes, which are pre-produced interview shows. Mm-hmm. And you can see it at the sexyboomershow.com website. We're here every Tuesday from 3 to 4, and we rebroadcast this show on Saturdays at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that'll get you out of bed, believe me. And I believe, Ted, that we're planning to run our interview with Weird Al Yankovic maybe next week.
Well, because Weird Al's movie is out.
Yeah, oh, it's very entertaining. And I loved it.
Yeah, we talked to Weird Al about a year ago.
Yeah.
It was in the pandemic still. We were in separate bunkers.
Yeah, it's interesting because we actually he did talk about his real life,
yeah.
Which, of course, you you see in the biopic, except that it's not real.
Yeah, if you see the movie, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but I can say this: when we interviewed Al, I was just struck by what a really sweet, down to earth, delightful person he is.
Yeah, but you will see in the biopic.
It's not true.
No,
it's
just
Daniel Radcliffe, not a very nice person.
No, it's just a facade.
This is the dark side of Weird Al.
Yeah.
Is there a dark side?
Emphasize the weird, and maybe you'll get close to understanding how he.
Is that why it's rated R? Well, you know, I'm sorry, but it turns out that the newsroom sound effect was a subscription thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't a buyout.
So you mean there wasn't enough money to really support it all
no.
the way through the show?
Well, we only had 30 minutes.
Oh, and $30. And it doesn't work, does it? Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Well.
But, if we're... he is awake. Okay, George.
Oh yes, I'm right here. Yes, indeed. I listened to your program. I've been listening to it. I heard the remark about Weird Al. It's a very entertaining fella. I recall he made $1 million on that song of his, "Everything You Know Is Wrong."
Oh, well, that has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though? Expect your check. I think it's a blue check. Isn't that what you get these days?
Oh, you're going to get a little...
You get a blue check in the morning.
I'll get a blue check and get a little part of that action. I think it was the Frankenstein Theater that originally made a short film called Everything You Know Is Wrong, right? Which... And from an album, what I heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, that in order to make the film for the measly budget that Columbia Records offered them, they lip-synced the entire album. And it was filmed by Alan Davio, who later became Steven Spielberg's director of photography for E.T. and Empire of the Sun. So I think that the world is all connected, basically, but one degree of separation. Let's face it.
Everything you know is wrong.
That's an amazing factoid. That is really remarkable. Yes, I heard that it was made for very little money. No one had any money in those days.
Well, you didn't need any money in those days, did you?
No, have you bought your $22 million apartment yet? I understand it's a converted garage, but it's in Santa Monica.
No, I couldn't. It was $22 million a month, George.
Oh,
just a little bit too much for me.
George, as we wrap up here with this really consequential day in American history, we don't even really know what's going to be happening tomorrow. I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, I'm an optimist. I have a pretty good hope here.
Well, you're a cockeyed optimist.
I'm a cockeyed optimist, yes. But
yes,
so look away.
I think it's the women. I think it's the women. They always say that an election is always determined by a 10 or 15% swing vote that doesn't show up. I think hell has no wrath like a woman scorned. I think that 15% and then some is going to be more than covered by some very angry women.
And the
men who support them.
And the swingers, too.
And
get the swingers into that swing vote.
George, would you like to, in your inimitable style...
And your deep wisdom.
And deep wisdom. Yeah, would you please sort of put us at ease as to what we can expect for our republic?
Yeah, calm us down.
Gentlemen, as you say, we will know nothing really tonight. I'm not living in a place where people talk about battlegrounds. It's one of the favorite words in your reporter world. We're in a battleground state. Well, I feel very personally uncomfortable with tuning in to the news to see that the battlegrounds won't have been cleared until a week from Friday, which is more likely than not. So I would wish that everyone would perhaps take a night off from the news tonight, tune in on their drive to work in the morning, listening to it, whatever you do, if you not work like me, haven't worked for 30 years.
Well, before you sign on to your work from your home.
And as you say, boomers, keep up the hope that the world will simply survive for another day, which it will.
I am
changing with the times, so let's meet him.
Well, Jerry, our next famous fall guy is still putting his art in cans from Canada to Kashmir. Winner of the Academy's coveted Good Sport Award in 1956 for Excellence in Hollywood, meet George LeRoy Tirebiter.
Hubba, hubba, George. What a suit. Well, it's nice to see you looking like you're back on your feet again, George, and ready to play our little game again.
Thank you very much.
George, first a tip for our viewers, maybe. How does an old man like you stay alive?
Well, sir, I try to get up every morning and watch television all day, Mr. Yellow.
Do you have a special diet, George?
I don't eat.
You don't eat?
No, but it hasn't affected my appetite.
Well, George,
you don't have any little growth clusters I could chew on, maybe, do you?
Later, George. You won't want to eat in a minute after you turn your back and get ready for this stab from the past.
Oh, my.
All right, George. Now, you remember all those lovable, stupid, Porgy and Mudhead movies you were responsible for?
My goodness, I haven't seen any of those in
years.
Well,
Georgie, what are you going to do when the original Bottles, Mudhead's crazy hopped-up girlfriend, drops right through that celebrity trap door?
Oh, no, that woman's trying to kill me.
Let me remind you that it was only, 60 years ago, 60 years ago, that Cuba was going to atom bomb New York.
Yes.
Well, it didn't happen, did it?
No,
it
but...
It scared the piss and ginger out of everybody, but it didn't happen.
Made for a lot of close encounters, I'll tell you that.
Well, we're all hoping that they will swoop right on down tomorrow and, I don't know, stuff the ballot boxes, what can I say?
Do you think that we're going to, there'll be a surge of common sense, we'll sweep the insanity out? Have they overplayed the card?
What we're saying is not insane, not insanity exactly. You see, there's a lot of miseducation that we call insanity. You must be crazy, we say. You must be crazy. And what do we really mean? We mean there's never been educated. It's three generations of dumbness, maybe four. So what can you really expect? And there's too much entertainment. There's too much stuff to do.
Yeah, and that's why we have to say goodbye, George. I'm sorry. I think you hit the nail on the head. No, shouldn't use that metaphor.
No, not now.
Not now. But
thank you for the interview, gentlemen. And
great to talk to you, George.
Prepared. I'll be prepared to assume the mantle if I'm around in another 2 years.
Oh, you will be.
Oh, you will.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
Tyler. You can count on it.